Okay, welcome everybody. So with that kind of introduction that we all heard, I feel like there's not really anything left for me to say. But since you're here, and I'm here, and it's just the yahrzeit of your mother, fourth night of Chanukah, then we should learn. I was thinking on Chanukah after the, and thank you to the Rebbetzin for inviting me. I was thinking on Chanukah on the seventh night after we heard of the terrible tragedy in Brooklyn, that when I was looking at the candles after we lit, and we say, these candles are holy, and we do not have permission to use them. Only to see them. And I thought, Hashem, kaviyachol, so to speak, you also should not have permission to use these candles. They're just to look at. They shouldn't be used. And that instead of the neshamos, which are required as atonement for our people, so you should accept the Chanukah licht instead, because we know that the flame is a mashal for the human soul. So Hashem, instead of taking human souls, innocent human souls, outstanding, shining human souls, we should accept our Chanukah licht instead of these karbanos. That's what I thought when I did menorah. They're holy. I think the 5 minutes that I heard about your mother, who went to her eternal rest on the fourth night of Chanukah, that's also very relevant, because from the little bit that you said, finding a kiss in the Siddur, wow, after her Patira, and davening, being zochah to daven brachos together with your mother in the car on the way to commute, making the most of your time. Idle chatter, not turning on the radio. What could we do now when we're sitting stuck in the belt on traffic? Let's say Baruch Ata Hashem, Matir Asurim. You release the bound. We saw yesterday that if Hashem wants to release the bound, He will release the bound. Shabizoch Adar Golden and Aron Shaul should also be released. Manarad, Zachari Bamel, Tzvika Katz. To spend time together and say Zokif Kafufim. You straighten He who is bent over. Spend time together and say, Baruch Atah Hashem Pokeach Irim. Could you see when you woke up this morning? Spend time together with your mother and say, Hanosin Laya'if Koach. You mentioned that she was in remission, but still not out of the woods. And to be able to declare, blessed are you God, who gives strength to the weary. Who doesn't wake up tired? My kid's orthodontist, Dr. Andrew Siklik, just told me something great. Does anyone come to 5 times for orthodontist work? So this year he stopped teaching as a professor in one of the dental schools. He has his orthodontist practice, and he went to teaching. He's teaching the Rambam. So I said, how are you managing the work and the teaching and the tests? So he says, he marks at night, he's tired. He said, but I realized if you're not tired, you're not working enough. And you're not doing enough in life. And to be able to say, so with the three of you shared, even though there was some repetition, we all need repetition. It was very, very special. And Hashem should really have an aliyah, and I'm sure that she is very proud. And it's a big schos that you all came, especially on a Thursday night. You know, I don't get a lot of bookings on Thursday night. I really don't. I get mornings, I get evenings, I get afternoons, but it's an extra schos. So let's learn a little bit about tefillah, which is one of the foundations of who we are, really, as a people. When was tefillah first instituted? When was it first established? When do we first see record of tefillah at all in the world? So if you look in the book of Bereishis, because everything's in the book of Bereishis, Chazal tell us in Pirkei Avos, Ethics of Our Fathers, Hafochba, Vahafochba, Dekulaba, turn the Torah over and over, because everything is in the Torah. Everything's in it. So if you want to know anything that happens to us, it's in there. You want to know about Matir Asurim that we saw yesterday? God releases the ban. So look at the story of Yosef. Now the story of Yosef. Yosef's languishing in prison. He's there for 12 years. You know, you think he's there for 5 minutes because one parasha ends and the next parasha begins. He's in jail. He gets out of jail. 12 years. And then Pharaoh has a change of heart. And Pharaoh needs him. And they rush him up from the pit. And he shaves and he changes his clothing. And he comes before the king. And the king says, you're free. So if you want to know about Matir Asurim releasing the band, it didn't just happen in 2017. Happened a long, long, long time ago. Did you ever hear of Yosef? It happened in... And if you want to know about Karbanos, if you want to know about a 3-year-old, a 7-year-old, and an 11-year-old who were buried this week, whose neshamas were taken by the Chanukalecht. Kachnas bin chasichicha, asher ahavta as Yitzchak, v'lechacha al ha'armira v'aleu sham la'ola, al achad ha'arim asher akka. So for that you also go to Bereishis. And God appeared to Abram, chapter 22. And he said, Abram, do I have a mission for you? You think you had 9 tests? You think life was hard till now? Let me tell you something. It's just beginning. Take your son, the only one, the one you love, Isaac, who you waited 100 years for, and walk with him to the Mount of Moriah for yourself, Lecha, and offer him as a sacrifice on one of the mountains that I will show you of salvation, so that's all it says. The moment God commanded Avram to bring the sacrifice, it's as if Yitzchak was sacrificed. It's as if Yitzchak did not exist anymore in Abraham's mind. Salvation says the Akedah offering is the cornerstone of sacrifice in Jewish law. It's a cornerstone of who we are as a people. Why? Who knows why? We don't know why. But so it is. So if you want to know about the events of this week, Afoch, Bava, Afoch, Bada, Kulaba. You didn't just see Matir Asurim yesterday with Shalom Mordechai Rubashkin, we saw it by Yosef. And we didn't just see the Akedah, the necessity to give back to God what he gives you, the necessity to return to God what he bestowed upon you. He gives us gifts, you said, as young as you were, how blessed you feel. And in due time, God says, okay, now you can give it back. Why? Kevi, Kevi, lama azavtani rechok mishu asi divresha agasi. My God, why have you abandoned me? Far from my roar, far from my cry, are your words, is your help, is your salvation. Chapter 22 of Tehillim said, Esther Malka, as she walked down the hallway to the king, lama azavtani, why have you abandoned me? So Rav Shamshar Falhirsch says, don't read it. Oh, you mentioned Tehillim and how important it was. Such a bracha that you have the blue sitter with the kiss marks on the machzor and shawl. My grandfather was a Holocaust survivor. He lost his first 3 children by his first marriage. They were murdered in the Holocaust. Leah, Ita, Golda, Shemim Kondaman. And he finished Sefer Tehillim every day. And we don't have them. My aunt said they fell apart. We never even saved them. She said she's so sorry she doesn't have Sefer Tehillim. Such a bracha that you have. Such an unbelievable connection through prayer. So David HaMelech says, you mentioned how important Tehillim was to her. Keli, Keli, lama azavtani. Why have you abandoned me? Why are you far from me? Why are you listening to me? I'm davening. I'm crying. I said it yesterday. I'm saying it today. I said it last month. You don't know I need a Yeshua. Why? Where are you? So Rav Shamshon Falhirsch says, don't read it lama azavtani. Why? Lema azavtani. For what purpose, says Rav Shamshon Falhirsch, is my suffering? Why do you have to change it from why, lama, to lama, for what purpose? Because you're not going to get an answer to why. Because we have to accept that we don't know why. That there's no answer to why. What purpose? That's productive. That's useful. How can I change from this situation? How can I grow? How can I come closer to you? How can I make myself a better Jew, a better person? That is the power of the words of Tehillim for all times, every time in our life. Miriam Peretz. Who's heard of Miriam Peretz? Raise your hand. Are you visitors? Okay, I'm happy I came here. Me and the Rebbetzin met in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago for the first time. And I spoke in an interesting shul a number of times over Shabbos. Very inspiring shul. And one of my last speeches, I said, so who's heard of Miriam Peretz? So no one raised their hand. So I said, I'm happy I came to Los Angeles. Just to tell you, I spoke 6 times over 3 days, just to tell you about Miriam Peretz. All right, so I'm going to tell you about Miriam Peretz. And then if you want to treat yourself to a post-Chanukah present, you can go on Amazon and order her book. I don't work for her. No, really, I don't. I order my own copy on Amazon. I really recommend that you should read it. It's called Miriam's Song. Miriam's Song. Shirat Miriam, the story of Miriam Peretz. Miriam Peretz is an Israeli woman who lost 2 sons in the IDF. She's She lost her oldest son, Uriel, in 1998 in the north to Hezbollah. He was 22. And then in 2010, she lost Eli Raz in the Gaza Strip in battle with Hamas. Eli Raz was married and he was the father of four children. He was 31 years old and the father of four children. His oldest child was named Or Chadash Uriel. Or Chadash, a new light should shine. Uriel was the fallen brother. And he was killed in battle. And it was Erev Shabbat HaGadol. And Miriam says the whole house was ready for Pesach. White tablecloth. And she saw them coming. The three representatives. And she said she locked the doors. She shut the trisim. She closed the window. She would not let them in. She says, because I know when you see them coming, what they're coming to tell you. They're coming only to tell you one thing. I did not want to hear this one thing that they are coming to tell you. I first heard her speak in person a number of years ago, even before I read the book. It's very, very kedai. I'm being serious. I don't usually stand up and endorse books, but it's very, very kedai that you should really, it's really worthwhile if you want to read it. So she speaks a lot about prayer. She speaks a lot. Oh, in between the death of her son, Uriel, and Eli Raz, her husband, Eliezer, died at the age of 56 of a broken heart. She says, more than half my family is up there in God's commando unit. And she speaks a lot about prayer. And she says, talking about Tehillim, when she goes to Har Herzl, and she has to choose every time, which grave should she go to first? Should she go to Eli Raz first? Or should she go to Uriel first? And when she stands by Uriel, she hears Eli Raz saying, Ima, what about me? And when she stands by Eli Raz, she hears Uriel saying, but Ima, what about me? So where should I go? She says, every time I have to choose. It's like crossing my own personal Kriyat Yamsuf. My own personal crossing of the sea of reeds. And sometimes she says, I go and I take out the little Tehillim that I have under there. If you've seen pictures on Har Herzl, they have the tombstone flat, and then they have like a little place to put mementos, pictures, candles. So she takes out the little Tehillim that she has by their tombstone, and she says, sometimes I read the words of Tehillim and they speak to me. They were written for me, Miriam Peretz. Ani tefilah, says David HaMelech, I am prayer. It's not to say words of prayer, it's to be the prayer. It's not to turn the pages of the Siddur, it's to kiss the Siddur. It's to feel. It's to cry. It's to plead. It's to thank. It's to be a person, a prayer. Salvechik says, what makes us a goy gadol? In this week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu is promised that on his way down to Egypt, he is going to be made into a goy gadol. He has mar'ot halayla, night visions, and God says, don't be afraid to descend to Egypt. The big reunion this week between Yaakov and Yosef, and everyone thinks it's so triumphant, except that it's the beginning of the galut. In reality, it's the beginning of our exile. It's really not so great. Ve'el shmos b'nei shah b'ay mitzrayim, the Torah tells us in this week's parsha. You're beginning the descent, the Avdui, the Inui, the Shibbol, the Arba Meot Shana, what was prophesied to Abraham in the Brisbane of Asarim in chapter 15 is coming to fruition now. The God says, don't be afraid. I'm going to make you a Goy Gadol in Egypt. A Goy Gadol in Egypt? In Egypt, I'm going to be a great nation. Why couldn't I be a great nation in the land of Canaan? Why do I have to go down to Egypt to be a great nation? So Rav Salvechik says, two things distinguish us in making us a Goy Gadol. I think, very, 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 very humbly, in a self-negated way, think there are more than two things that make us into a Goy Gadol. But Rav Salvechik says two things make us into a Goy Gadol. The first is to be the champion of righteousness, to abhor injustice, to reject unfairness. To be a righteous people makes us great. How do we learn to be righteous when we're faced with hypocrisy? In our exile, when there's one standard for the Jews and there's one standard for everybody else, we learn what it means to be great. It's pretty unbelievable. I never thought I would say this. That we have someone today who's standing up and say the Jews have rights. There's someone who's championing, whether you agree politically or not. There's someone who's championing and saying the Jews cannot be trampled upon. We generally have faced 2,000 years of galus, of being trampled upon after one nation after another, High will we become Goygadol, great nation in exile, says our Salvechik, when we learn what righteousness is. When we learn how to reject unfairness, thank you so much. When
it is the spontaneous indignation when faced with hypocrisy. So when we see how they treat us, we learn how to reject that and to become righteous.
And what's the second ingredient of a Goygadol, says our Salvechik? Prayer. A great nation, says the Rav, is a prayerful nation. And the same is true of an individual, he says. A great person knows how to pray. It does not mean simply turning the words of my Sidur. Anybody can turn the pages of the Sidur. It means understanding. It means it should have English on the other side. If you don't have the English, it's okay. So fine, I speak English. So get a book that has English. It means shifchi kamayim libech nochach b'neishim. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. Cry.
Who else is listening if not the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Master of the Universe, the Almighty God?
So Miriam Parrot says, that's what the Rav says. Two things make us a Goygadol. Righteousness. I saw something beautiful from Rabbi Sachs. Differentiate between righteous and self-righteous. Even though they sound similar, they're very different. The righteous champion the cause of others. The self-righteous champion their own cause. Righteousness makes us into a great nation, and prayer. And he says, the Avos, the patriarchs, were great because they were acquainted with prayer.
So I never answered my first question. Where do you first see prayer brought down in the Chumash? We said everything's in the Chumash.
Back in the beginning, Bereishis 2:5, Parak Beis, Pasuk Hey.
So the Pasuk says, nothing grew yet. Because Adam wasn't there to work the land. What do you mean nothing grew? Why wasn't anything growing?
God made the potential for plants and shrubs, vegetation. So Rashi says,
Adam was not yet created. There was no one who recognized Tovatan Shel Geshamim, the goodness of rain. Adam came along, v'hit palel aleihem. He prayed. There was a need. There was a lack in creation. Adam prayed for rain, and it came down.
Even before the patriarchs established the formal order of three prayers a day, Adam came along and prayed. So Miriam Parrot says, I take out the Tehillim and the words speak to me as if they were written for me. Miriam Parrot.
And I read in there, Gam ki eilech begeitz amaves, lo irara ki ata imadi.
Even when I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear because you are with me. And Miriam Parrot says, Gam ki eilech begeitz amaves. Even when I walk in the valley of death?
What does that mean? She says, I am already walking in the valley of the shadow of death.
And nevertheless, lo ira ra, I do not fear evil, ki ata imadi, because God, I know you are with me. We see in this week's parsha, when Yaakov and Yosef have their unbelievable reunion, and it's after 22 years. I haven't seen each other for 22 years. We can't imagine with today's technology what that even means, to go somewhere else and not be in touch for 22 years. But it's true, 22 years. And so Yosef goes out to greet his father, and he harnesses his chariot, and he falls upon his father's neck, and he's crying. And Rashi, quoting the Medrash, says, Yaakov was not crying.
Yaakov was reciting the Kriya Shema.
Yaakov was channeling all of his emotion, all of his love, all of his pain, all of his anguish, all of his thanks
to the source, to God. Because who's ultimately in control? My brother says to me, Michal Shem can do whatever he wants.
If someone's going to sit in prison for 8 years, he's going to sit in prison for 8 years. And then in the blink of an eye, if God decides he's going to come out, he's going to come out. And if God decides that it's time for those precious neshamas to leave those worlds, lama? Lama. Now what? For what purpose?
What do you want from me, Ribbono Shel Olam? What do you want from us as a people, God Almighty?
Lema, for what purpose is my suffering? How can I grow? And therefore, Yaakov was taking all of that power and all of that passion and channeling it up to God. In the second paragraph of Shema, 1 second, please. Thank you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, shehakol nehi avivah. Thank you.
In that second paragraph of Shema,
you
shall serve God with all your heart and with all your soul. And Rashi quotes the Gemara Maseches Tainis right in the beginning of Tainis. What do you mean,
serve God with all your heart?
So if you tell me, serve God by making a bracha, so I know what to do. Serve God by having lechem mishnah on Shabbos, I know what to do. Light the Shabbos candles, taharas hamishpacha, mafrishcha, I know what to do. What is it? It's not tangible. Serve God with all your heart. What does that mean? Do you understand the question of the sages?
It's not a tangible thing to be able to fulfill, serve God with all your heart. So what do the sages say? Ezi avoda shehi b'lev. What is service of the heart? Havei omer. What's the answer? Zohi tefila. To serve God with all your heart is to pray before Him.
So what do we learn from that? Put your heart into it. Everyone's prayer is individual.
I always say, if you walk into a room, you walk into a yeshiva, you walk into a shul, you walk into the Yom Nidzu of Great Neck, it looks like everyone in Shabbos morning is saying the same thing. Shema Yisrael, Shem and Kodesh Shem Echad. So however many people are there, they all look like they're saying the same thing. But they're really all saying something different. Because everyone's saying their very own prayer. There's no way that your prayer is her prayer. And that your prayer is her prayer. It's simply not possible. Your heart, your needs, your desires, your longings, your pain, your joy of that day is unique. And I'll tell you something else. Your prayer of today is not the same as your prayer of yesterday. And it's not the same as your prayer of tomorrow. Because life's not static. It's moving. It's not inorganic. It's alive. And the prayer, maybe the Zokev Kefufim in the car that morning with your mother is not the same as the Zokev Kefufim yesterday. And it's not the same as tomorrow.
Every day it's different. Make sure you put your heart into that. Shivchi kamayim libeich
nochach p'nei Hashem. Pour out your heart. Your heart like water. Opposite God.
That's avodah shehi b'lev. That's work of the heart. And in the first paragraph of Shema, we say, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, v'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol meldecha. You shall love Hashem, your God, with all your soul.
What does Rashi say? Even if He takes your life. Afil hu nota es nishmascha.
Even if He takes your life, you must love Him.
V'chol nafshecha, v'chol levavcha.
I forgot v'chol levavcha. What does Rashi say? One of my favorites.
With your two Yetzers. I have a friend, she recently said to me this week, Michal, someone I learned with in a certain venue, she says, my Yetzer Hara knows my address. I said, he knows mine too.
V'chalavavcha, b'shnei Yetzerecha,
with both of your Yetzers. You gotta serve God with your Yetzer Hatov, your positive inclination that tells you to do mitzvah, and then you gotta serve God with the other inclination
who wants you to not be so good. Very hard. It's a huge challenge. How do you serve God with your Yetzer Hara? What do you mean serve God? I don't know.
I haven't found the exact answer yet. But what we're trying to do, I believe, is to channel the negative back to God.
Hashem, you gave me this Yetzer Hara. That's what Cain said after he killed his brother. You gave it to me. So help me.
I don't want to be like this, I tell Hashem. That's why I serve Hashem with my Yetzer Hara. I don't want to be like this. I have a pure neshama.
Take this away from me. You shall love Hashem, your God, with all your hearts, with all of your soul, even if He takes your life.
And finally, b'chol me'odecha. What does Rashi say about b'chol me'odecha? Who remembers?
Anybody? Wait, I can't. Who's talking? Raise your hand.
No, I just don't know who's talking. Amani, is that what you said? Is that what you said?
Except that you said in Hebrew.
Okay, Mama, fine, yes.
B'chama mancha. So Rashi says two interpretations. You shall love God with all your money,
and he specifically says there are people who love their money more than they love themselves. You have to use your money to serve God.
I don't think for us that's, we have tuition, we have Lulav and Esro, we have Sukkah, we have kosher food, we have Pesach, Baruch Hashem.
I was just, somewhere over Hanukkah with a non-observant woman, and she hosted, very traditional woman, and she hosted Shabbat dinner last week, and you know she said to me, I don't know how you do that every week. I promise, that's a quote. So, b'chol me'odecha, so we know how to serve God, b'chol me'odecha.
What's the other interpretation of Rashi? We just came off of 8 days of saying Hallel. We say two different things at Hallel. Hallel is mostly a compilation of verses composed by King David that make up the book of, or back to Tehillim. It's in all times. You sing when you're happy, got a Tehillim. You cry when you're on Har Herzl visiting the grave of her two sons, you also take on your Tehillim. It's all encompassing. It's your whole life. Any emotion you could possibly feel, it's in that book. So what does Rashi say, B'chom Odacha? So Rashi says, B'chom Mida Umida Shemodedacha. With each and every measure that he measures out to you. Bein B'mida Tova, Bein B'mida Peranos. Whether it's a measure of goodness, or whether it's a measure of, how would you translate Peranos? Suffering, difficulty. With each and every measure that he measures out to you, you should love God. It's easy to love God, b'mida tova. It's easy to love God when things are going well. I love you so much, God. Thank you. And you have parnasa, and you have health, and you have family, and you have friends, and everything is great. So it's not such a challenge. But B'chol mida umida shemodei decha ben b'mida tova ben b'mida peranus. What about when it's a tzara? What about when it's a difficulty? What about when I don't understand? So you're not excused, says the Torah. V'ahavta es Hashem elokecha. You have to love God. I don't know if you saw that Gavriel Sassoon wrote a letter to the Azan family. Gavriel Sassoon lost 7 children in a fire in Rosh Chodesh Nisan 2.5 years ago in Brooklyn, and his children and the Azan children went to the same school together. He wrote a letter to the Azan family, the father Shabbat for Shalema. And one of the things he said is that in order to get through this, you have to love. That's what he writes. It's so interesting. He says you have to love God. You have to love people. You have to find the love within yourself to get through. I'm just repeating. It's not something that I can fathom and we should never know. I'm simply repeating. What's so interesting is it relates very strongly to Shema. V'ahavta, ben b'mida tova, ben b'mida peranos. You have a command to love God when it's good and when it's also not good. I, with my own 2 ears, heard Miriam Parrot say numerous times when she spoke to us, I love God. I love him very much. I give thanks to God every day, she said. When I wake up in the morning, it's a miracle. I give thanks to God that I can walk to Har Herzl on my own 2 feet. I love him. I love him very much. And then Rashi quotes 2 psukim from Hallel, which are from Tehillim. Rashi quotes 2 psukim. On the one hand, ben b'mida tova, kos yishuos eso v'shem Hashem ekra. When he lit the cup of salvation, so he called in the name of God. Kos yishuos eso. A cup of salvation I lift up. V'shem Hashem Echa. So I call God. It's great. What about the other pasuk that we say in Hallel? Tzara v'yagon emtza. When I find sorrows, when I find difficulty, when I find anguish, when I find pain. What's the end? V'shem Hashem Echa. The same end for both. Any way you find, any way you end up, you're going to end up at the same point. And that is V'shem Hashem Echa. Kos yishuos esa. V'shem Hashem Echa, when it's good, when we have a matir or surim, when the bound is released, so I call in the name of God. And on the other hand, sarav yagan emsa, when I find pain and suffering, when I don't understand. When I open the radio, no, who does that anymore? I don't know. When I open my phone and I read the news, I don't even know why I said that. And I read the news, I don't understand. I want to say Lama Azavtani, but instead I say Lama Azavtani, and I don't understand. V'shem Hashem Ekra. But nevertheless, I call God. That's B'chol Me'odacha. Ben B'mida Tova. Ben B'mida Pro'anus. The sages established the prayers. Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos. I believe it's Brachos Chavav. So that the sages established the order of prayer. Avram was Masakin. It's easy because it goes in order. Avram was Masakin Shachris. Avram established or instituted the morning prayer of Tfilat Shacharit. Yitzchak established the afternoon prayer of Mincha. And finally, Yaakov established the evening prayer. Ma'ariv or Arvit. So there are different times in their life when they established these prayers. Avram was Masakin Shachris. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Vayamar Alamakum Asher Amad Sham Espanei Hashem. When is that verse from? Who remembers the context in which Abraham instituted the morning prayer? Who's talking? Yes.
Akeda.
Okay, it says Vayashkim Avram Baboker three times in his life. You're correct. One of them is by the Akeda.
Wasn't that the look?
What? Yes,
the look. When he was davening for Lot.
Ah, okay. First he spends, one second, time davening for Sodom and Gomorrah to be saved. But that's not when the sages tell us.
Right.
He was misakin, he instituted, he was mitakein, he established the morning prayer. He makes a whole deal with God. If there are 50, save them, 45, save them, 40, all the way down to 10. If there's less than a minute, there's nothing we can do here. Okay. He presumably goes to sleep, and he wakes up in the morning, and what does he see? What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Were they saved? Like, I don't know. No, they're smoking like the smoke of a lime pit. There's nothing left. So what does Avram do? What does he do? He wakes up and he davens. Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Al HaMakom. Makom is a place and a name for God. Asher Amad Shem Espanei Hashem. He goes back to where he stood yesterday and he prays again. But God didn't answer you. It doesn't look like he answered you. Everything's destroyed, and you spend all those verses trying to get God to come to some sort of agreement and some sort of deal, and I won't destroy them. And now it's smoking like the smoke of a lion pit. So what did Avram do? He davened. It's not just that he was mitakein, he established the morning prayer. You have to look at the context in which he established the morning prayer. When it seems that his prayers were for naught, he established the morning prayer. That's a much higher level of establishing the morning prayer. Stop on a regular sunny Sunday morning when everything's fine. Yitzchak was misakim mincha. Yitzchak was suach masada lifnos Aaron. End of chapter 24, he goes out into the field. It's the time of the shirach. What's mincha? The time, it's not morning, it's not evening, it's lifnot Erev, it's coming in. It's a time of indecision. It's the afternoon time. You're not at home, you're not at work, you're not here, you're not there. That's when he established the afternoon prayer. When you're not sure where you are, you're hanging between points in life, that's when you go to the field and you pray. And finally, Paruch Havchas, Yaakov is running away, Vayifka b'makom, Vayalan sham, ki b'hashemesh, the sun sets and he's a fugitive and he's all alone. And what does Yaakov do? He davens. So the official title of the shir is Short-Term Benefits and Long-Term Rewards. Short-Term Benefits. Rav says man cannot exist without prayer. We have an innate need to tell God what we need. Without prayer, man cannot exist. A human being must connect to the Almighty. Short-Term Benefits is that prayer grounds us, validates us, establishes us, connects us. I can't exist without prayer. There's a higher being, much greater, much, much, much greater, who is in control of all, who I must connect with in the morning in the car. I kiss the machzor. I have to connect. What about long-term benefits? So Rav Ronen Neuwirth teaches something so beautiful. It seems, in fact, like Abraham's prayers were not answered. Everything's destroyed. Except that Lot was saved. It says, Vayhi b'shaches Elokim et Sodom, when God destroyed Sodom by Yizkar at Avram, he remembered Avram and he takes out Lot. What does it mean he remembered Avram and he takes out Lot? He remembers Avram's prayers and therefore he rescues Lot. Why is that the answering of Avram's tefillos? Who comes from Lot? Then he goes to the cave. And he has an incest situation with his daughters. Very strange story. But yes, it's there in the Torah. Who's born?
Ruth.
But someone said it. What did someone say?
Ruth.
Ruth.
Ruth. Ruth.
Who's born, whichever way you want to call her. Who's born from the relationship of Lot with his daughters? Ammon and Moav. Who comes from Moav? Ruth. Who comes from Ruth? Ovid. Who comes from Ovid? Yishai. Who comes from Yishai? We're back to
David Melech Yisrael Chai B'Kayim. So Rabbi Ronen Neuber says, let's analyze the passage again. To Abraham's eyes, it looked like his tefillos were rejected. It looked like you had short-term benefits of connecting with God, but long-term, they're smoking like the smoke of a lion pit. Except that, right after the destruction of Sodom, I'm told about the strange story of incest in a cave when a father and daughter sleep together. What kind of story is this? It's disgusting. It's in the Torah. Look, there's no one else left. Let's sleep with him. They were noble. They were virtuous. They believed there was no one left in the world except for them. And they had to repopulate the world. They were heroic women, says the Rav. And from that heroism came Rus the Moavi. And from Rus comes David HaMelech. And from David HaMelech comes Malchus. And from Malchus comes one day ultimate salvation. So in the short term, prayers are unanswered. And in the long term, God stores them for the time when they're needed. You don't know. That prayer your mother uttered on one day, that's for the benefit of her children. Who knows? In the short term, it seems prayers are rejected. But in the long term, who can fathom the power of every utterance of prayer? We all answer. We all utter. Just going to end with a final Miriam Peretz story, which I tell often. Sometimes we daven for the really big things. Like Shalom and Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach. Sometimes we daven for the very small things, like very, very small. Like it's Erev Shabbos and I need a parking space because I'm pressed for trying to get to class in the morning and I have to run into Gourmet Glop first. So like in the grand scheme of things, it's ridiculous. But you should know, I say, Hashem, please help me find the parking spot. I really do, I promise. So I think that's about as small as we could fathom. And then there's the really big things. And we already said that we daven in all times. Kos Yeshuas Esau v'shem Hashem Ekra. Zara v'yagon Emsel v'shem Hashem Ekra. Miriam Peretz tells the story about meatballs. Don't worry, you should still buy the book. There's a lot more than what I told you. After her son Eliraz was killed, the second son, there was very little Shiva, because I said it was Erev Shabbat HaGadol. There was very little Shiva because of Pasach. So she overheard Or Chadash Uriel, the six-year-old, the oldest, who was named after his fallen uncle, the new orphan, tell his sister, Safta will come for Shabbat. Safta will make meatballs. And Miriam thought, Safta will make meatballs? This was my Eliraz's favorite food. Or Chadash thinks his grandmother's going to come with meatballs. I can't even look at meatballs. But she told her friend, buy the meat. She puts the meat in the freezer. Erev Shabbat, she wakes up and she takes the meat out of the freezer. And she says, Or Chadash Uriel is waiting for Safta and the meatballs and the meat defrosts. And she says, what used to take her 20 minutes, it was her Eliraz's favorite food. She would roll 20 minutes. She would put up a pot. He would come home with his friends from the army. Before she could finish serving the last boy, the first one was already finished and waiting for more. It took her 2 hours. When she finished rolling those meatballs, she had a pot of meat and sauce and many, many tears. And she said when she made the meatballs, she asked God only for one thing. One thing, she asked. Not for strength for Shlomit, her daughter-in-law, who is now a widow. Not that her grandchildren should grow up healthy and okay without their father. None of the big things. She asked for one thing. Please, God, help me only to make the meatballs. Right now. I need you right now. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. I'm not thinking about Parnassah. I'm not thinking about Shalom for Eretz Yisrael. I'm not thinking about the Messiah. When is he going to be here? I need help now. Because I can't make the meatballs. Because it was my Eliraz's favorite food. Wanting. And she says, when she got to the settlement of Eli, and she got out of the car, Or Chadash came running. Safta, he said, did you bring the meatballs? So we should be zocha, we should merit that all of our tears and all of our prayers and all of our united hearts and all of our individual hearts should finally cause God's cup to overflow. Halal Yafa Arial. Her mother said, there's no room for my Halali up there anymore. She said, Miriam, make some room for her so my Halali can dance with you. There's no room, it's crowded, she said to God. The people of Israel already fill it up. Should be zocha that all of our united prayers and all of our individual prayers and all of our communal prayers and all of our tears should come together. Umacha Hashem dima me'al kol panim. God should wipe away the tears from upon every face. V'cherpas amo yasir me'al kol ha'aretz. The shame of his people he should remove from the land. Ki Hashem diber, we should merit it immediately and in our days. Your mother's neshama should continue to have nachas from you. Should continue to be an advocate of Tova for all of you, and should really have an aliyah, her rightful place in the Olam HaAnas. Thank you very, very much, ladies.